Hey guys, welcome back to the All In Podcast. I'm one of the co-hosts, Mike Badzig, joined as I am every episode by my guy Eli Cooper. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Great week of basketball we just had, so we're going to get into that a little bit today. Yes. And then we have some cool announcements for you guys throughout the show, so excited for this one for sure.
Yeah, definitely was a great week of basketball. Really, the whole bubble has been really great. Eli's got a little merch on. I like that hoodie you got on, man.
Yeah.
All in Network. Watch it on YouTube. Check that out. If you're interested in the merch, it's teespring.com/all-in-network. Make sure you grab some merch and rep the podcast and the network. We appreciate that. And the hoodie looks nice. So we are excited for this episode today. We are talking NBA basketball. First thing we do want to talk about is the award nominations. They announced the finalists for the awards, you know, most improved, MVP, coach of the year, sixth man, rookie of the year. They announced the finalists. So they announced three finalists for all of them. We are not going to talk about who we think should win on this episode. We are just going to talk about if there's any beef that we have with who the finalists are. And the reason we're not talking who we think we should win on this episode, Eli, you want to tell them what's going on?
Yeah, so Wednesday, we are going to do a live all-in podcast of, you know, featuring our other normal NBA host, which would be Todd, of course, who normally comes on, and Taylor, who did the mock draft episode with us. It's been a while, but he'll be back for that. And maybe another possible surprise guest we're still waiting to confirm, so I won't throw that name out just yet. But, you know, it's our all-in NBA panel. We'll be voting, and then we'll do a live show announcing the winners of the All-In NBA Awards. We're going to take a little step further, though. We're going to have some new awards that we're going to do that the NBA doesn't do, just so you guys can get our perspective on who should win each award.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We are working on that fifth guest, so it'll be somebody, and it'll be a cool panel, and it'll be fun for us. So this will be our first time going live. If you're a subscriber on the YouTube channel, you might have saw All In Politics went live last week. That was really successful. I know they had a lot of fun doing that, and so we're happy to use this new live feature that we've got, and we're going to start with us doing that NBA award show. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it anyway, so let's get into these award finalists, Eli. First one we want to do is MVP, biggest one. So I'll just kind of, for all of these, I'm just going to throw out the three, and then we'll just talk about if someone maybe got left off that shouldn't have been left off. So three MVP award finalists were, you know, LeBron and Giannis, no surprise there. And then really the question was who was going to be this third finalist. And we're pretty sure that this third finalist doesn't really have a real shot to win, but who was going to be? They picked James Harden as the third finalist. Do you have beef with that, or did you have someone else, or is Harden a good pick?
I don't have beef with it. I think whoever you put in that third spot, like you said, didn't really have a chance. So you're kind of just like grasping at straws there. I don't think he's a legitimate MVP candidate this year. They're in the sixth seed. So, you know, maybe you could have threw in, you know, Jokic or – you know, Pascal Siakam, to, you know, one of those teams. I don't know, but like either way, they have about the same amount of chances winning at James Harden. And
yeah,
I guess James has the numbers, so, you know, that'll always put you in the discussion. But so I don't have beef with it, but I think some other people might have been a little more deserving if we're talking about pure value this year.
Yeah.
But no beef.
Yeah, I think Jokic was probably the biggest one for me. I probably would have had him in that third spot. I mean, you know, they're the third seed in the West. Maybe Kawhi even. Actually, I might even put Kawhi there just because they are the two seed in the West, and he's the best player and drastically has changed the Clippers' season this year. So I probably would have Kawhi or Jokic in that third spot. I just, you know, Harden, as much as the stats show and they are really good, you know, and we're not counting any of this. That's the other thing that probably needs to be brought up, is that these final eight games here in the bubble, the NBA has said we're not counting any of this towards the awards. So basically we're picking these finalists anyway are being picked from just before the bubble. Harden has had a great bubble. But January and March were really bad for Hart. You know, probably worst months he's had in this whole Rockets like scoring run were in January and March. And maybe it's the maybe it was the usage rates catching up to him. But March was really bad. And, you know, I think if you have, if we're judging this off of 6 months of the season of, I guess it would be October, November, December, January, February, March, and two of the six were pretty bad. I would have you third. I'd probably go with Jokic or Kawhi there.
Yeah. And see, the thing with Kawhi is he sits so many games.
Yeah.
So right. It's like, and not only does he sit so many games, his team, is there's not a significant drop-off when he sits out. Like, mm-hmm. That's kind of what keeps him out of the running is then you look at the teams that he plays on, it's like, okay, well, how much worse are they actually without him? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
he's really a guy that puts you over the top. He's not a guy that, like, carries you. So
exactly.
And it's that's been proven with, you know, pretty much the three different teams that he's played on. So that's kind of what holds him back. But I agree. I don't think Harden was the third best player in the league. And he did have a couple of awful months. And to piggyback off of the bubble thing, that kind of works out really well for LeBron, right? Because he has not been good at all in the bubble, which we're going to get to that a little bit later. But, Giannis runs away with this if these bubble games were included in it. So, I think he still has a chance to win it. I think he has a lot of, like, social media and media – you know, backing him. I don't know that he'll actually win it, but like he has a much better chance than if they counted these games.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the narrative was building there for LeBron. And then he's not been great in these eight bubble games, like you said. Do you think, let me ask you this before we move on to Rookie of the Year. Do you think that Kawhi should get points towards MVP for getting Paul George to come? Like the offseason stuff of, you know, if it wasn't for Kawhi, then the Clippers wouldn't have got Paul George. Does that factor into most valuable player for you?
I've heard people say yes. Not in this case, because then, like, you got to give LeBron points for getting AD, right? So, no, that's what we have, like, Executive of the Year GM of the Year is for. Because at the end of the day, like, Kawhi can tell the Clippers that he wants Paul George all he wants. The Clippers GM still has to get it done. The franchise needs the assets to be able to pull off the trade. And then a whole other team has to then, like, sign off on it. So, like, sure, like, Kawhi can go ask, but, like, at the end of the day, he doesn't have control over that. So,
yeah.
No, I don't give him any points there.
100% I agree. I think that's a bogus argument for including that in MVP. Like, we're talking on the court stuff here. So, okay, let's do Rookie of the Year then. The three finalists were Ja Morant, no surprise. And then Kendrick Nunn and Zion Williamson. I can start on this one. I'm fine with Ja, of course. I think I'm fine with Kendrick Nunn as well. I have some beef with the Zion finalist pick.
Yeah.
He only played like 20 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to include him. And maybe you do include him because when he did play, he probably was the first or second best rookie playing. Like, he played so few of games, and we're not counting the bubble games, right? So it's only the games before that. He played so few games. I really would put Brandon Clark in there. I would have found a way to get Brandon Clark in this final three. I mean, he averaged 12-6 in only 22 minutes a game with the Grizzlies. He was a very important piece on a good team, a team that is in the final eight before the bubble started, and we'll talk about this, but it's currently in there. It's not looking great, but he's a really important piece on that team.
Right.
He shot, 68% from field goal and 37 from three, I think. So I would have included Brandon Clark instead of Zion. I could see the argument for leaving Zion, though.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, like, Rookie of the Year doesn't really have a definition to it. You know what I mean?
It's,
and there's no real guidelines or restrictions to it. It's like, is it most outstanding rookie? Is it most impactful rookie? Like, what do you know, everybody can kind of interpret this in a different way. Cause if you're talking about, like, most outstanding, regardless of, like, how many games they played, like, Zion's absolutely in that discussion, right? Cause he was very good in the games that he did play in. And he had a big impact on the Pelicans as well. But it would be unfair to other guys to give him this award after 20 games, unless he averaged like 50 and 25.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but yeah. Like,
yeah, in this case, I'm not quite sure he's deserving. I think it's okay to put him in there simply because he was that good over 20 games. Yeah. I think that's kind of like, you know, the NBA's nod to him, like, okay, well, you know, we got to at least throw it out there. And there were some people who do think there are people, that do believe he should win this. So, you know, I feel like you got to have him there, especially if you're the NBA. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? He's the most popular of the bunch by far.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. It's about the narrative. So,
yeah,
I get it. I just think I didn't want to leave off Brandon Clark of this finalist. I think he deserved it. I think he was really good.
Agreed.
And I think Kendrick Nunn was really good too. I think he also deserved to be a finalist. So it's tough when you only get three.
Yeah.
Just because of the games played, I probably would have left off Zion. Okay, let's do Defensive Player of the Year then. Giannis, AD, no surprises there probably. And then the third player on there was Rudy Gobert. What'd you think about that?
I think Rudy Gobert being on here is criminal. And don't get me wrong. Rudy Gobert is obviously the best defensive center in the league. Like, I don't even think that's debatable, right? Unless you count Anthony. Well, you can't count Anthony Davis as a center, I don't think. But I think that's a non-debatable thing. But, like, how in the world was he better than Ben Simmons defensively this year? I don't think he was. I think he's here off of name recognition because he's you know what I mean? I believe he won it last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think he's here because he's the defending award winner. There's no way Ben Simmons isn't a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year this year. That makes no sense to me.
I agree. I would have Ben Simmons as well over Rudy Gobert. I don't even know. I might have Bam over Rudy Gobert as well.
Like, yeah.
I don't think Rudy was himself this year all the way like we've seen him in the past couple of years. And I think maybe name recognition did play a role. Maybe if you look at the deep analytics of defensive basketball, that Rudy Gobert fills up those, and that's why he's on there. But from what I saw, I would have Ben Simmons on there. And like, I think that this is just, you know, we're kind of disrespecting defensive guards in a way, because we're like, well, the big guys here, they block shots and the length that they create, like, but like, it's really important to have guards who can play good defense. And I think that's why Ben Simmons should be getting more love. But he's not here. I don't know. That's your guy.
Yeah, I mean, he led the league in steals, and that is not often something that happens for someone who actually plays defense. Like, Curry won it when he got his second MVP. He won, like, the steals title in that season. So, and, like, Steph tries, but, like, he can't defend. So, like, you know what I mean? A lot of times that ends up being, like, the steals doesn't always turn into a direct reflection of how well you play defense. But in this case, it absolutely does. Like, Ben Simmons is one of the most versatile defenders in the league. I think this year he took it upon himself to be more focused and locked in on the defensive end. Like, I think there was a clear improvement in that aspect of his game from his first couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And the recognition isn't there. So I think it's criminal, like I said.
I agree with you on that one. I think they should have done more deep digging on that one, and they would probably sell the case for Ben Simmons. And he hustles a lot, and he leads the league in, like, all those hustle stat categories. So, and sadly, Ben Simmons probably out for the year. Unfortunately, for your Sixers, not good.
Yeah, so I'm going to rant a little bit about this just quick.
Go ahead.
So, with the Ben Simmons injury, a lot of people are like, okay, well, like, where, how the Sixers going to replace that production? Well, it kind of helps them. Not, I don't want to say that, like, well, it doesn't help them defensively, obviously, but it on the offensive end, it kind of opens up the floor. And they looked a lot better offensively, I thought, against the Magic in their most recent game. So, like, the issue is, like, Embiid and Horford can play together. I don't think that's necessarily an issue. They can play like a, you know, high, low, 4 or 5 type game. Mm-hmm. If you have actual guards on the perimeter, I think you can get away with that. You can even get away with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons on the floor at the same time. Again, you need the right guards on the perimeter, but their coexistence is going to really come down to Ben's development of a jump shot long term.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Al Horford cannot play together. No. Like, those three can't be on the floor at the same time for long stretches of games. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's weird. Like, Ben fits with Al Horford, and Joel Embiid fits with Al Horford, but Ben and Joel don't fit with Al Horford.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's like, someone asked me, like, what do the Sixers playoff chances look without Ben? They look exactly the same as they did with him. It was the first, we were right. losing in the first round. So,
well, a lot of optimism for your Sixers then. So let's do sixth man. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, and Dennis Schroeder. I think when we did, I think it was like one of our, maybe our first podcasts we did with Sean, and we picked these awards, I think that I had Schroeder, you had Harrell, and he had Lou, maybe?
I think so, you're exactly
those
right.
Are, so those are the three. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with those three, personally. I think that those are the right three, and we talked about that before. Do you have anybody else you think deserved it?
Not more than these three, no. I can't really even think of anyone else who came off the bench that was really anywhere near as productive as these three. So I think this is like the one award where they got the finalists 100%. Well, I guess, 100% right. And yeah. They're going to have a tough time choosing between these three because – they all were super impactful to their teams.
Yep.
And two of them are teammates, but like in different ways. So that's going to be interesting. I'm not even going to have fun picking that one because I don't know that I'm going to stay with Harrell. We'll see.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a tough one.
That is a tough one. And all three of those guys are deserving. So I have no beef at all with that one. I think they got the right guys for that one. That's the only one. That's the only category I'll probably say that with.
Yeah.
All right. So most improved player. This one was a big Twitter controversy. I saw a lot of people talking about this. They went with Luka, Bam, and Brandon Ingram. I think Bam and Brandon Ingram were pretty – I think most people are okay with those picks. I think most people agree that those two should be three of the finalists. Luka was the one where there were some question marks because, you know, it's a second year. He was a top five pick. Do we count that as a most improved player, or was there someone else who was more deserving? Maybe you – disagree with Bam or BI as well, but what do you think about the most improved player?
I think Bam and BI are 100% deserving. And to be honest, I don't know how you can say Luka doesn't deserve to be on here. If we're talking about most improved, his scoring average went up just about 8 points. He averages 2.9 more assists, and he averages almost two more rebounds per game.
Yeah.
And then from the his field goal percentage went up 4%. 3-point percentage didn't really change. He's still hovering around like 32, 33%. But certainly Luka Doncic was a lot better this year than he was last year, which I guess, like, granted, that's going to happen for young studs like this. Mm-hmm. But, like, that big of a jump from year one to year two, I don't know that we see that all the time. You know what I mean? No. And we're talking about improvement. Right, as far as their actual skill set, like you can kind of make an argument that like Bam's increase was more to like increase an opportunity, right? Because he wasn't quite as involved in the offense as he is now, and certainly wasn't playing the same like type of minutes. He simply wasn't in the same role that he's in this year. So like,
right.
And a lot of that is obviously going to be because of his improvement. But you can make an argument that he might have already been this good. We just didn't know it. BI got significant like playing time and opportunity. I don't know that he was quite the go-to guy like he has developed into in New Orleans, but like obviously Brandon Ingram's game got better. Like his, you could see it in every aspect. His handle is tighter. He shoots the three so much better. His free throw shooting got better. His finishing through contact, his footwork drastically improved. So like you can clearly see, anybody who watches the game with a trained eye can see the increase in Brandon Ingram's skill set. And even Luka was solid, but I think he's like, he looks stronger than he was last year. You know, he looks more decisive. What's the argument that he isn't, you know what I mean? One of the most improved players in the league.
I agree. I think the argument or that I probably don't agree with, maybe see, would you agree with one is, okay, so he was a rookie last year, second year player this year. So really like this would be his first opportunity to be a most improved player because this is his second year. So one, do you think that someone who, you know, do you think it should be able to be won by a rookie into a second year player, or is it reserved for a guy who, you know, been in the league 3, 4, 5 years and then they take that leap? Do you think that, or do you think, or the other thing would be, you know, he's a top five pick. Should we have been expecting this? I don't think anybody expected this, how good he is now.
Yeah.
But should we have been expecting, you know, him to be a star player?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's all fair. But at the end of the day, it's most improved. You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
if I got significantly better, give me my respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, Devontae Graham, you know, deserves recognition for this award. And Lucas said it himself. He was like, yo, take me out and put, you know, Devontae Graham in there. It's like, yeah, he fits, right? The typical most improved player, like when you think about it. But like, I think a lot of times we look at most improved, like, oh, well, who had the biggest jump in their numbers instead of who actually like drastically improved their skill set from last year to this year or throughout their career. Like, an argument could have been made for Steph Curry in 2016 for most improved player, because he went from 23 points a game to 30, you know, led the league in steals. Like, there was a legitimate argument there. Obviously, they're not going to put him in that category, but like, he was so much better,
yeah,
you know what I mean, than he was the year before. So like, I think you have to at least acknowledge that. And, you know, an 8-point increase, 8.2 rebound and 2 assist increase while seeing your field goal percentage goes up. I can understand why you might be upset about it, but at the end of the day, that is improvement.
Yep. I agree. I'm fine with the Luka pick or finalist pick there. I think that you should be able to win it if you did get a lot better. Devontae Graham was the guy I was going to say. I was going to bring up Devontae Graham. I'm glad you did. Because he jumped to 4 to 18 points and 2.5 to 7.5 assists, and really kept the Charlotte team who, coming into this year, I mean, we weren't doing this podcast yet, but we were having conversations where this might be one of the worst teams we've seen. I mean, they had nobody. Yeah. We were very concerned. He really kept them relevant, and they started the year pretty good, actually, if you guys can remember.
Mm-hmm.
They came out of the gate okay, and he was, like, the reason why. So, yeah. I think he does deserve some recognition. Pascal Siakam, maybe the other guy who might deserve some recognition. And, you know, he won this award last year, so it'd be pretty insane to win it twice in a row. And I get that really doesn't make a ton of sense, but he did really improve again and got a lot better. Mm-hmm. So maybe he should be getting some love. So
yep. That's
one of the nice things about the NBA is, like, we see guys, like, every year there's like 5 or 6 guys who, whether it's situationally or whether it's just improve their game, like, really get a lot better. That's one of the cool things about the NBA that I like anyway. So,
yeah.
All right, then this is the last one, right? Coach of the year.
Yep.
Finalists announced were Mike Budenholzer, Billy Donovan, and Nick Nurse. I had seen reports that they had announced there was reports that Donovan and Budenholzer were going to win this award together, like co-coach of the years.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know. I haven't seen that being confirmed, I guess. But what's your take? Are those the three finalists for you? And I guess would Budenholzer and Donovan been the co-coach of the years?
I think the finalist list is fine. I think to give this award to anybody not named Nick Nurse would be a crime against basketball.
Yes.
I'm using the word crime a lot today, but it needs to be emphasized that Nick Nurse is absolutely the coach of the year. And here is why. Mike Budenholzer has obviously the best roster in the East. Best player in the East by far, the MVP. So, granted, coaching obviously still matters, and he's an excellent coach. Like, I really like Mike Budenholzer, don't get me wrong. But, like, at the end of the day, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, you're in the number one seed. And you have certainly a good enough supporting cast around him. So, obviously, he plays a role. But I think even if you swapped him out with other coaches, the Bucks are the number one seed in the East. because really no one can deal with Giannis in the regular season. Period.
I agree.
Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
Excellent coach. Very good coach. And what he did with the Thunder this year, given, you know, most people probably thought they were going to tank after trading away Paul George and Russell Westbrook in the same offseason, he keeps them not just afloat, but like an actual competitive team in the Western Conference and a top five seed. Obviously, that deserves recognition. But Nick Nurse lost his best player, and they didn't even bother to replace him with like a major free agent sign. And they were just like, bye, thanks for the ring. We're good. You know what I mean? Like, and he got Pascal Siakam to up his scoring average by like, what, 6 points? I think he was at like 17 a game. He's at like 23 now. Kyle Lowry stayed solid. Same old Kyle Lowry. OG Anunoby stepped into that starting role and was excellent this year. Norman Powell, Fred VanVleet were also great. Like, they didn't miss a beat, and they could possibly win the East. Like, they're that good still. Come on, man. Like, that is coaching. That is coaching. And to me, Nick Nurse is the coach of the year. I can understand if Billy Donovan wins it. I can. But to me, I think Nick Nurse has the absolute strongest argument.
Yeah, I agree with 100% of the things you just said. I think it's definitely Nick Nurse for me. I know we're not, you know, we're going to do the award show Wednesday, but, you know, because they already announced that it's going to be Budenholzer and Donovan being co-coach of the year, I think it's worth mentioning that that's pretty disrespectful to Nick Nurse, I think. Yeah. Like, and so whatever. I won't get into the argument for Nick Nurse because I think he did a really good job there. And I will say Billy Donovan with the Thunder, he has done a really good job. And Chris Paul deserves a lot of credit for, you know, player leadership there. So I will say, I don't think anything else needs said on this because you did it so well. But my dream scenario in the first round of the playoffs is Rockets versus Thunder, and the Thunder beat them with Chris Paul.
Would love that.
When Chris Paul beats them with the Thunder and they traded Russell Westbrook. I really think that the Thunder got the better end of that deal. I think that Chris Paul – I'd rather have Chris Paul than Russell Westbrook on my team. That's just me. That's just me right now, I would. So that's all of the categories. That's our thoughts on who the finalists were. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this 8-seed race in the West and how this is shaken up and maybe some concerns for some of these bigger teams, Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks. We're going to take a quick break. Here's a word from our sponsor, Tavon's Lawn Care. Thanks.
Here at the All In Podcast, we love talking about sports. That's pretty much our main topic. And in sports, you need to be reliable. Well, what's more reliable than Tavon's Lawn Care, LLC? It's a Black-owned family business in York, PA. Tavon's Lawn Care, or TLC for short, since they provide each job with tender, loving care, has been in business for over 10 years. Founded by owner Tavon Parker, TLC aims to provide employment for underprivileged youth while providing great service at a reasonable rate. You can visit Tavon's Lawn Care LLC.com or Tavon's Lawn Care on Facebook and Instagram to view their portfolio and request your cost-free quote now. So if you need any kind of lawn care or landscaping job, visit Tavon's Lawn Care for your landscaping needs.
Hi, guys. We are back continuing our conversation about the NBA playoffs and the NBA bubble and everything going on. Next thing we want to get into is this 8-seed race out West. There's been a lot going on. We've had some surprise teams. We've had some disappointing teams. So let's just, like, we're checking in now where we are. So as of right now, where we stand, we're recording this on August 9th. Where we stand right now is the Grizzlies are holding that 8-seed. The Blazers are a game and a half back. The Suns came roaring up and are 2 back. The Spurs, surprisingly, are 2 back. The Pelicans are 2.5 back, and the Kings are 3.5 back. So at this point, you know, all of those teams would qualify for a 8-9 matchup. Only the top team is going to. So whoever finishes in that 9-seed will be the playing game against whoever the 8 seed is. Maybe it's still Memphis. Maybe it's someone else. So we've had some surprises for sure. Eli, what have you seen so far with this race for 8? And who are you liking now? Have you shifted your thoughts at all?
I absolutely have. And that's mostly because the Pelicans have played their way out of contention. So, you know, thanks for ruining my pick, guys. But, man, Memphis has been awful, right? Yeah, like, I think they're really lucky that they had such a big cushion coming into this, man. And the last win that they got, beating the Thunder, of all the teams that they've played, that was probably, like, the team you least expected them to beat, you would think. And that's, you know, they beat them by 29. So, and that was honestly, that was a must win that kept, and the Clip and the Blazers lost. So they're still a game and a half up. That could be much different. You know what I mean? If, you know, the Friday and Saturday didn't happen for these two teams, but I mean, this race is heated up, and I mean, to make things worse on Memphis, Jaren Jackson Jr. is done.
Yes.
So they were already struggling in this bubble with him. It's going to be a lot harder without him. So yeah, absolutely. Some things have shaken up with this 8 seed race, man.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So my pick was always the Grizzlies coming into this. I was rocking with the Grizzlies. I'm still holding out hope. They're still the 8 seed. Luckily, they had enough of a cushion coming into this that they're still in the lead. And, you know, we're coming down to it here with probably 4 games left for everybody about. So, you know, I think that it's going to be tough for multiple teams to jump them to where they're at least not in the 8-9 game. So I don't have to jump ship yet. It's getting scary, though, on this Grizzlies Island, no doubt about it. Let's talk about the Suns. Dude. What the hell? The Suns are great. The Suns are fantastic.
And it's crazy because, obviously, when we did our Tier 3 video, we did not show them enough respect. I don't think we really even gave them a chance. And Kelly Oubre hasn't been playing, and that's 18 points per game they weren't getting from one of their top three scorers, right? And and they're still 4-0, and what's crazy is they're winning close games. Like, they're coming. They beat the Mavs by 2, Clippers by 2, obviously with that incredible game winner from Devin Booker. Beat the Pacers by 15, and then beat the Heat by 7. Granted, no Jimmy Butler, but still an impressive win because the Heat have been pretty solid without him. So, you know, I don't know. I think Memphis is in more trouble than what we might think. And, you know, they're 1-4 so far. Right now they're playing the Raptors at halftime. They're down by 3.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, that's not good for them. And then their last two games are against the Celtics and the Bucks. Now they could get lucky and see the Bucks. That's the last, one of the last days of the bubble. So they could get lucky and the Bucks like rest Giannis or something like that. They don't really need to play him, but like, you don't really know whether they'll play him or not. So maybe that helps them out there. But even without Giannis, like that's with the way that they're playing, that's a struggle game for them. You know, it's going to take a lot of guys sitting for them to really like have a chance, you know, a strong chance or being able to take that game to the bank as a win here. And the Suns have the Thunder, Sixers, and Mavs. Tough games, right? But winnable for sure.
Yeah.
And then the Blazers have Sixers, Mavs, Nets. So probably the easiest schedule finishing out here of those three teams. Memphis could actually see themselves out of this.
They could.
Out of playing games in general because Blazers are only a game and a half back and the Suns are 2 full games back. There's no reason why the Grizzlies couldn't lose out and the Suns and Blazers win enough games to get them into the 8-9 spot, which would be crazy.
Yeah, it would be crazy. It's like, so if we're just looking at this now, so I think we're probably saying, okay, the Kings are probably out. They're 3.5 back. They're going to have to jump all these teams. It's tough to do.
Yeah.
The Pelicans are 2.5 back. Now the Pelicans play the Spurs. Now, that is a huge game. That's the next game for both of those guys. So if the Pelicans lose, they're probably done.
Yeah.
But as of now, the Spurs are only two back.
Yeah.
And they've looked pretty good here. Like, how about DeMar DeRozan, my former, you know, Raptor, my guy? He's just like, it's in some of these games, it's like you need an adult in the room, and he's an adult in the room. Like, he just is like even when they played the Grizzlies the other day, like, the Grizzlies made this great comeback, and they came back, and then DeRozan just had Dylan Brooks on him, and it was like, it was too easy. You know, it was pump fake, fouled, okay, that's it. Yeah. 0.4 seconds left, I hit two free throws, game over. But, like, that's what he was doing the whole last couple minutes, was, like, mid-range, like, just breaking the rules of all the analytics, and it was working. And it's, you know, the Spurs, and they are playing their young guys a lot, their young guards, and they're all playing pretty well. So I am really if I was going to change my pick here from the Grizzlies, I would not be opposed to the Spurs. I'm not I think here's the thing. The Suns have looked great. You know, the Blazers obviously probably have looked the best of these teams, maybe the Suns, but I think if I just watch these last games that have happened in the bubble, I'd probably say the Blazers are the best of those teams. Just, you know, the guys they have and, you know, what they've been able to do against, like, really good competition. They should have beat the Clippers, but Dame had those. Dame had those free throws, and then there was a lot of shit talking going on. What happened there on IG? So Dame missed the free throws. Pat Bev was talking shit from the stands. And then after the game, Dame said, well, I sent him home a couple of years ago. I sent Paul George home last year. And then on IG, Paul George said, we're sending you home this year. And then Dame said, keep switching teams. You're scared of the grind. I like that one. I like that comment.
Well, see, and here's the thing that Dame holds over every other player in the NBA is that comment right there, is y'all running from the grind. You know what I mean? Because of all the team switching, he's the one guy who has stayed true to the Blazers and to the franchise that drafted him. And he's like, listen, I'll die ringless before I do what you guys are doing right now, running everywhere all over the place to get championships. So, you know, I respect Damian Lillard so much.
Oh,
I
think, yeah.
Like, he's the man, yo. Like, it just, when it comes down to him talking his talk, how can you argue with it a lot? Because, like, he's almost never the guy that starts it, right? Like, he doesn't come into games, like, chirping at you. You know what I mean? Like, it's always someone provoking him. And then his comebacks are just always on point. And
yes.
And they're all facts. All facts. Like, Patrick Beverly was on the floor when Damian Lillard hit that shot to send Houston home. Yes. He was in the mix. I don't know why he wasn't guarding Damian Lillard on that play, but you know, James Harden fell asleep on a switch when he came off that double screen. Patrick Beverly was in that little two. It was a double screen. He was on one of the players in it. There was no switch, or James Harden didn't switch, and boom, Damian Lillard sent him home, which I completely forgot about, because, like, Pat Beverly wasn't super relevant then. Like, he was just a role player. It's like his talking over, like, the last two or three years, really since the Russell Westbrook injury thing, has like increased his profile. And then obviously we all know what Dame did to Paul George
last year
in the playoffs. And then Paul George, like, threw a ton of salt when he said it's a bad shot. Well, like, he sent you home with it. You know what I mean? So it's like, how much can you really talk? And now Paul George is like, okay, well, I'm sending you home this year. And it's like, dude, okay, like, you had to join up with Kawhi to do that.
Kawhi,
you
know what I
mean?
Right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how do you respond to that? He went, and then he goes on IG talking about, oh, if I didn't break my leg, my career would have been so much different. Like, come on, dude, that was 6 years ago.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, that was 6 years ago. 5 years, you've been fully healthy, and you haven't really been good in the playoffs since. And then he's like, okay, well, in my first stint with my first team, I did better than you. Like, okay, you made one more conference finals than Dame did with the Pacers.
Yeah, right.
And you had the same amount of chances, and, well, you had the same amount of chances realistically of winning those series that Dame had winning in the West against
the Warriors,
Rockets or the Warriors, right, coming up at the time. Yeah. And if you really want to go there, right, you're going to talk about your Pacers time. The second time, you could have had complete control over that series and you let LeBron get an easy game-winning layup because for some weird reason, you just overran that play. Like, if anything, you want LeBron to shoot a jump shot at the end of the game, right? Instead of overrunning it and giving him an uncontested layup. Like, that was on you, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that, and that was early in the series. I think the Pacers could have went up like 2-1 or 2-0 or something like that on the road. And you blew it. So right. I don't know that you necessarily want to bring that up in talking about your legacy and stuff like that. Like, you know, I think Dame has the most valid point here, but it was lovely to see all these guys jarring at each other, man. And what makes it funny is like they can all like chat about it in whatever resort lobby.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So it's just, it's so funny that they're taking it to social media when this all is probably also discussed in their little hallways. Yeah,
they're going to pass each other in the cafeteria. Like.
Right.
But like, I'm definitely team Lillard here. And
yeah, agreed.
It's unfortunate that he probably is going to get sent home earlier than Paul George's Clippers this year.
Yeah.
Just because of you know, they're going to be the 8 seed probably and have to play the Lakers in round one. But, you know, and even like the Indiana stuff where Paul George is like, well, I made two conference finals. Yeah, like, and he probably was the primary player, primary scorer on that team. But, like, he wasn't carrying the load that Dame has been with these teams. I mean, they had Danny Granger was still scoring and Lance Stephenson was doing his thing back then. Like, they had a better – overall team, like just number of guys,
yeah.
And defensively that's where they really were very good was on the defensive end.
Yeah.
So he wasn't like doing what Dame was doing in Portland anyway. So I don't even think that's comparable really. So
no.
Just to get back to what I was saying before about, you know, teams that I like, I like the Suns, but I tend to think that teams will eventually average out to where they should be. And I do not think that they're better than some of these teams, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, or the Spurs. So,
yeah,
I probably would think that their hot streak will end and they'll miss out on that nice game. But, man, are they fun to watch with Booker there leading the way. You know, did you see Draymond got fined for
– 50K. You
know, on NBA TNT was saying get Devin Booker out of – all right, so I'm not changing my pick. Are you changing your pick?
I guess I kind of have to. So I don't think Memphis stays in the 8 seed. I think the Blazers pass them. I think the Blazers have the stronger schedule. I'm very tempted to take the Suns, man, because and the reason why is because the bubble format favors like the team that's hot. Like you don't get any time between games other than like a day, right? You're usually playing like every other day. So, or back to back. So it's difficult to like rediscover your rhythm where at like some point in a regular season, you'd probably have like a 2-game or a 2-day gap before, you know what I mean? I don't know where you can kind of try to figure things out, but like without Jaren Jackson Jr. and with how badly they look right now and how tough their final schedule is, I'm going to go Blazers and Suns, man. I'm going to rock with the hot hands in Damian Lillard and Devin Booker. Memphis put themselves in a tough spot here. I think they fall all the way out. I'm going to stay bold. So I was bold with the Pelicans. I was bold with the Pelicans. I'm going to stay bold just with the Suns now instead. I'm jumping on the light skin killer's wave.
Yeah. So wait, are you taking the Blazers to win that 8-9 matchup though, or is it?
I'm gonna save it for the bracket. I'm gonna say we got to do a bracket episode. I'm gonna save that for that.
That is fair. Okay. Well then I will not say I'm definitely picking the Grizzlies to win the 8-9 matchup either, and I'll go Grizzlies Blazers in that last 8-9 matchup. So, all right, let's talk about our tier one teams. From the latest NBA podcast we did, the tier one teams are Bucks, Clippers, and Lakers. It has not been a great bubble for any of these teams. There's definitely been some question marks. The Bucks are 2-3. The Lakers are 2-4. The Clippers are 3-2. Could easily be 2-3 with that. Damian Lillard missed two free throws there to give the Clippers that one they maybe didn't deserve per se. So, of these three teams, who are you most concerned about?
I'm most concerned about the Bucks. I think, like, if you look at the Lakers, LeBron's not playing well, and like realistically that's not gonna last, right? And I think he's in cruise control right now, so I'm not really concerned there. Same with the Clippers, like they're almost always in cruise control, so, and they still have a winning record throughout this bubble, so like, you know, Nick Wright made a strong argument as why we should be concerned about the Clippers, but like I truly believe playoff Clippers is going to be a lot different. So yeah. I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt. The Bucks scare me though, because granted they're not playing for anything at this point and they locked up the one seed a while ago. But like when I'm watching them play, the flaws that they have are being like exposed a lot. You know what I mean? And the same ones we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals last year is like, if Giannis isn't doing it, who is? You know what I mean? Like, who's helping him out? Who's knocking down open shots? Their spacing seems to be like an issue, yep. You know, it looks like. And Giannis doesn't look like he has a ton of room to operate. And I wonder if it might be time to look at like moving him to the five and playing like a five out style, which is weird to say about someone who handles it like him, but it's kind of like the same argument I make for Anthony Davis. You know, it's just like the floor spacing, I think, would be dramatically better if they went like, I think right now they go Bledsoe. I think Wes Matthews is the starter, right? Or has it been DiVincenzo?
I think Matthews, sure. DiVincenzo off the bench. He might get more minutes than Matthew, though.
Yeah, something like that. And then Middleton, Giannis, and then Brook Lopez. And, like, Brook Lopez isn't shooting it well enough for me to stay in that starting spot. Like, if he was shooting like he was last year, like, okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it might be time to look at, like, DiVincenzo in the starting lineup. You go, you know, over Brook Lopez. And just, like, completely, like, put four guys that can make shots around Giannis and see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, and defensively, I don't know that you're sacrificing anything there, because, like, what is Brook Lopez bringing to you defensively? You know, you weren't really relying on that from him anyway. And the small ball, I guess you would call this a small ball lineup, but how small is it really when you have Giannis at your five? He's, like, the size of most centers.
Right.
So I feel he would have so much more room to operate. I think you could use him as the screener, like, in pick and rolls. You could run, like, if you want the ball in his hands, have smaller guards come set screens for him to try to get switches or, you know, screens into someone come screen for him. And then, and you set a flare screen, like stuff like that. Like, I think there's just more you can do because the floor would be more space, but it just, I don't know. They look shaky to me, and they have some bad losses here in this bubble.
Yeah. I'm worried about the Bucks too. Well, I'm not worried about the Bucks because I hope they fall apart and the refs win. But I would probably take the – and it's just tough because, you know, the Bucks and the Lakers have wrapped up these one seeds. So you wonder, like, okay, how much are they playing for, and is the focus there for these last couple of games? But, you know, and the Bucks, like, I love the Giannis to the five thing. I don't know why they even need Brook Lopez. And if you can just look at Giannis, like, he's a big dude. He's 7 foot, like – I mean, if you compared him to a player in NBA history before, I don't know that, you know, it's like he's maybe he's one of one, but probably it's like Orlando Shaq, where he's, you know, can get the ball and dribble and he's huge and just a physical specimen. But like Shaq was playing the five, like it's okay. He can play five. He'll get the rebounds you need. Like, I don't think, you know, I think sometimes we put too much of an emphasis on like being able, like having size to get rebounds and stuff, like, or even like on.
And Brook doesn't rebound.
Brook Lopez. And Brook doesn't rebound. So, like, what's the point? Like, is the argument for playing Brook Lopez that he's a great spot-up shooter? Because I'm sure you can find guys who are better.
Yeah, absolutely.
On your bench. So, yeah. And, you know, we make these arguments for every team, I think, to go smaller. But, like, that's just how the NBA has been working lately. Like, it's just that seems to work better when you have the guys. You know, you have to have the right personnel to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they at least tried it. And the Lakers, so the Clippers, I feel like the Clippers will figure it out in playoff time. I'm not any more concerned about the Clippers than I was, you know, during the regular season. So I'm not saying I'm not concerned at all, but I'm not more concerned because of the bubble. The Lakers I am a little bit more concerned about because LeBron's been not great. He's been struggling. He's been struggling in this bubble, and they lost 4 or 5 in this thing, and I would be, you know, you worry about the guards, and Caruso, I don't think Caruso is the guy that Bleacher Report and everybody on Twitter thought he was. He's he's a good defender, but I don't think I want the ball in his hands in the last couple of minutes of games. Like, I don't think he's that good. Yeah. Dion Waiters, I will never trust Dion Waiters. I don't, you know, he could score 20 points a game for the next five games. I'm still not going to trust him. And, you know, I just think that they're going to miss Avery Bradley. And I don't even think Avery Bradley's that good, but I think he's at least pretty sturdy-handed, right. Good defender. So I don't know. It's probably a tie between the Lakers and the Bucks for me.
Yeah. The Lakers have concerned me. But, I mean, even Anthony Davis has not been great over their last couple of games. Like, I think it's clear that they, like, checked out after the Clippers win. Like, they kind of – and especially after they got the one seed, it's just kind of like, okay, well, what are we – like, against the Rockets, they started Quinn Cook, you know. So, yeah. I mean, how seriously – and granted, LeBron was out for that game. But, like, you know what I mean? How seriously are you actually taking it? But
– right.
Yeah, the guard play is certainly concerning at this point. Because there's just no pick and roll presence, man.
Yeah.
And I think because of that makes it even more crucial that they need to go to the small ball Anthony Davis at the five. Like, they're still kind of they went to it for the Rockets when LeBron was out. They went Cook, Green, Pope, Kuzma, and AD. Mm-hmm. Which, like, that floor spacing just sounds so much better. But it's like when you're actually going to be playing, like, good teams, you'd probably take Quinn Cook out of that and you throw LeBron in. Like, that's a much better looking lineup to me.
Yeah.
As far as two way. And then you're not really so reliant on, I don't think you're so reliant on needing, like, point guard scoring or guard type scoring, because your spacing is just naturally going to be better in a lineup like that. So LeBron can kind of hide those flaws for you if he has more space to operate, and also AD will have more space to operate. So it's just, I don't know. I think that's something that they have to seriously consider in the playoffs. So we'll see.
And let's not forget that playoff LeBron is a different animal.
Completely different animal.
Completely. The last time we saw LeBron in the playoffs was the 2018 finals, where he had, you know, he lost, but it was one of the best finals performances we've ever seen. Maybe the single best game performance we've ever seen in game one. So,
and he's got Kobe motivation this year. He's very adamant about that. So, you know, I think we see a different beast coming in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're not too worried about the Lakers. The Bucks maybe a little bit more, because they don't have a LeBron James type leader and experience. So. All right, that's all we got for the All In podcast today, guys. Thank you for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Leave a comment who you're most concerned about, Bucks, Lakers, or Clippers. Let us know. What else is going on with the All In Network, Coop?
So Reign of Bliss will be returning on Wednesday, Tuesday, so stay tuned. They extended their raffle entry to Monday. So when you guys hear this podcast, they'll give you until Monday night to get your submissions in. They're giving away some free merch from their store. So if you haven't already gotten something from their Teespring store, go ahead and do so. Or maybe wait till after the raffle, see if you win. I don't know. But, you know, however you want to do it. But definitely get in there, enter that raffle. Their merch is nice, man. So make sure you guys get on that. All In Politics just had a live show on Thursday night, which is still up on our YouTube channel, also available audio on Apple, Spotify, Google, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And then Real Deal Radio will be returning soon. I know it's been a while. He's got a pretty long episode that he's going to be breaking up, so that will be coming soon as well. So stay tuned. And we have Beast Gaming Podcast coming to the network now. My guy, my former center in AAU when we were younger, LaQuinn Thompson, who has some incredible things that he's doing with gaming and things like that. He's bringing an esports podcast. So he's going to be talking about all the, you know, hot topics in esports and tournaments and stuff like that. I think that's going to be fun. Obviously, that's a growing industry. So, you know, like I said, we're trying to cover all the bases, man, and make sure you guys, our network provides any kind of content you might be looking for.
Yep. And you can find it all here on the All In Network YouTube page. So make sure you guys hit subscribe. You can find all of the podcasts that Eli just listed. All of those episodes are posted on this YouTube channel, and they each have their own Apple and Spotify. So make sure you're looking for all of those. If you go to allinnetwork.net, you can find links for all of those. Make sure you're checking out our merch, teespring.com/all-in-network. You can get a nice hoodie like Eli's rocking right there. And yeah, and then Wednesday, we are going live for our All In Network award show, NBA award show, where we are going to have a 5-man panel. We're going to vote on all the awards, and we're going to do our picks and some additional awards that we like just for us. So make sure you guys are getting ready for that. We're going to be throwing it out on social media a lot, getting you guys ready. Make sure you're going to be tuned in live on Wednesday night. But that's all we got today, guys. This was another episode of the All In Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys for tuning in. You know, man.